I'm telling you, all the trials of this life will be over. Oh, won't that be great and grand? Amen. Oh, we'll have troubles and tribulations as long as we're on this earth. But praise the Lord, one day it'll be jubilee. Praise the Lord, we'll be in heaven. And we won't have these trials and tribulations and things to go through and heartaches and hardships and all these things. If you will, turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse number 1 this morning. I'd like to read the first 12 verses, if I may, and bring a message this morning. Amen. And I also like to say, to remember Brother John Sleeper this morning. He's up in Westburg, filling in the pulpit up there. And so remember him and Sister Elaine while they're up there. Taking care of the church up there. All right, here in Matthew chapter 5, begin with verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for this is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come as humble as we know how before thee. And dear Father, we just thank you for this privilege of standing here once again to proclaim the precious word of God. Lord, we ask, Lord, this morning that you'd help us to pull away from the cares of this world and help us to get our minds and our hearts upon you to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray, dear Lord, that you supply the need of every heart. I don't know what that need is, but you do. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd meet that need this morning. There might be some that's brokenhearted, Lord, because of a loss of a family member or because of sickness or because of other troubles and tragedies in their life. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would bind up the wounds and wrap your ever-loving arms around them and comfort them this morning. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for those that are here this morning and Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to get our minds and hearts upon you to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, meet every need. And Lord, you know my need, Lord. I ask that you would reach down and touch and lay your hand upon me and use me to uplift your precious name and to preach your word only as you'd have me to. And dear Lord, all that you do, we'll be faithful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we do pray. Amen and amen. We find here the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes Jesus give for an example of how the Christian life is supposed to be. Now we know this, that no one has ever been able to live the Beatitudes. The only one that's ever been able to live the Beatitudes was Jesus himself. Because Jesus was able to keep these things in perfection because he is perfect. Jesus is perfect. We're not perfect. One day we will be. I'm so glad that John tells us there in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, when we see him, we shall be like him. Praise the Lord. I'll be glad for the day that I'll be just like him. Amen. That I'll be perfect just like he's perfect. I wish I was perfect now, but I keep failing, keep coming short. But listen, one day I'll be perfect. I'll have that perfect body. I'll have that perfect perfection in me, because when I see him, I shall be like him. Amen. Just like Jesus. Amen. And you will too if you know him as your personal Savior. But the Beatitudes is a type of the Christian life and how we should be and how we should feel and how we should think according to walking with the Lord and how we are to treat others. Matter of fact, the Lord gave a commandment and said, this is a new commandment I give unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. Amen. Jesus loved us with a perfect love. Jesus loved us so much that he laid down his life on the cross of Calvary and died in our place so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad he did that. Aren't you glad he did that? Amen. And so we find these Beatitudes, even though they're perfect, but this is the exactly how Christians are supposed to be. Now, how can we be this way? When we come to Christ and receive Christ as our personal Savior, he comes into us and becomes part of our life. And that's how he changes us. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, that we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When God saves us and he comes in to live in our heart, in our life, and he changes us. We don't change ourselves. He changes us and he makes us a new creature. We don't think like we used to think. We don't act like we used to act. We don't walk the way we used to walk. We don't do the things that we used to do because Christ makes a difference. When he comes in, he puts in our heart a desire to be like him, a desire to be holy, a desire to be like God wants us to be. I want to be just like God wants me to be. I fail. I come short. In that. But my heart's desire is to be that way. And so Jesus gives us these things, these Beatitudes, and he begins to teach the people. He begins to say these things. And so we find here in verse number 3, we find that he says this. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And so we find this, this is submission. Hey, you know what? When we come to Christ and get saved, we find ourselves now at a place that we should be submitted unto him. You know, I find this being a problem in today's society. No one wants to submit themselves. Everybody wants their rights. I've got my rights. You hear this all the time. I've got my rights. My right for this. My right for that. What about God's right? Amen. Don't we belong to God? Aren't we God's vessel? Didn't God create us? Shouldn't God desire for us to do his will and to be what he wants us to be? But instead, so much a time, I won't do what I want to do. Now, I don't want anybody to tell me. I had someone tell me one time, said, "I don't like anybody telling me what to do." I said, "Well, the thing about it is I happen to be the pastor of Pleasant Street Baptist Church." And I said, "There's certain conditions that we have here, certain things. I tell people, I said, listen, from that front pew back, from these front pews back, that's for whosoever will. I don't care who it is. They're a drunkard, you're welcome to come to Pleasant Street Baptist Church. If they're a whoremonger, they're welcome to come to Pleasant Street Baptist Church. Oh, do you agree with that? No, I don't agree with that. But they're welcome. It's for whosoever will." I'm glad you need to read the book of Revelation over there. It said, "Whosoever will." Praise God. I'm glad you said, "Whosoever will." Praise God. God will take in anybody that's willing to come and repent toward him and call upon him, and he'll save them. Doesn't matter what a wreck of life that they have, no matter what they have done. I've had people to tell me, "Preacher, you don't understand my life. You don't understand what I've done in my past. You don't understand how bad I am. Yes, I do understand, and God understands. And Jesus paid it all, amen.
Yes, amen.
He paid for every sin and everybody's sin. Praise God. I'm glad not just mine, but yours and every person on the face of this earth, He has paid for that sin. There's no sin that's gone unpaid for. Jesus paid for all sin, past, present, and future. Praise God. All of it's been paid for. I am so glad that He paid for all sin, no matter who it is. Hey, have you ever thought about it? I've been preaching and teaching in Sunday school about the genealogy of Jesus. Would you believe there's about four or five women that is in His lineage, in His generations and all? And it lists those women. Do you realize that one of them was Rahab the harlot? And do you realize that Jesus Christ came through her? How in the world could Jesus come through a harlot? Well, she wasn't always a harlot. Praise God, she came to God and received God as her Savior. And she believed on the Lord. And God saved her and made her a new creature in Christ Jesus. She no longer was a harlot, but praise God, she was a sinner saved by grace.
Yes, amen.
Hey, do you know what? I'm a sinner saved by grace. Hey, do you know what? You're a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd go to hell and burn forever. Amen. Oh, I don't believe in hell. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. There is a hell. God said so.
Amen.
I'd rather take God's word at it than take your word at it.
Amen.
Amen. I had a woman come to my house and she was going to convert me. And I just asked her one question. I said, do you believe Jesus can lie? She said, well, of course not. Jesus could never lie. I said, will you go over to Mark chapter 9 and began reading in verse 43. She turned over in her Bible and began to read. And the more she read, the madder she got. I said, can Jesus lie? Well, no, Jesus can't lie. I said, well, Jesus said there's a hell. He said, where the worm dieth not. Hey, listen, I'm not going to deny the word of God. I mean, God said it. Some people want to do like one king did over in the Old Testament. He want to take his penknife and cut part of the word of God out. Some people say, well, I don't like this part. I'm just going to take it out. Well, you know what? That doesn't work. Jesus said, I come not to judge you. He says, the word of God is what will judge you. That's why we go by what thus saith the Lord. This is what we're going to be judged by one day, is what God has laid down in His Word. Amen. So I want to do what the Word of God says. Amen. You said, well, are you perfect? Absolutely not. That's why I need Jesus. And that's why you need Jesus, because we're not perfect. These Beatitudes was the type of Christian that we are supposed to be, but we come short. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all come short. Jesus was the only one to fulfill this. But God tells us, Jesus said here, we are to submit. We're to submit. Oh, my friend, people don't want to submit. They don't want to submit to God. They don't want to submit to the church or to the leadership of the church or anything like that. Hey, listen, we're not going to expect anything out of anybody except what God says in His Word. And listen, we're just going to go by that. Well, I don't like that. Well, you're in the wrong place then. If you don't like that, you're in the wrong place. You know what? We don't make anybody. Brother Bob, we don't make anybody. Did we ever make you come to church? No. I have never, one time, ever made anybody come to this church. It's for whosoever will. If you want to come, come. If you don't want to come, don't come. You know, we don't make anybody come. We don't twist anybody's arm or anything like that. It's for whosoever will, whoever wants to come.
But the one thing about Pleasant Street Baptist Church, we go by the Bible here. This Bible right here is what we go by. We stand upon it. We stand upon the Word of God. And some people say, well, I just don't like it. Well, you know, take it up with God, not me. He's the one that wrote it. I didn't write it. I didn't write the Bible. God did. And I just go by it. Amen. But God says He wants us to submit ourselves. Turn ourselves over to Him. If you want the blessed life, if you want to be blessed in your life, you allow God to do the work in your life and submit yourself and say, God, I might not understand this, but I'm going to follow You because You told me to follow You and You told me to submit myself unto You. I remember the first year that I was here. We've been here 30 years now, come July the 1st. Be 30 years. That first year that we came here, after that first year, I went back. Our home church always had a jubilee. And so they put that on, went for one whole week. And I mean, the church would be just packed out. And there, 400 or 500 people was what church auditorium run. And so it'd be totally packed out. I've seen packed out so that they had chairs down the aisles, chairs down in the front. The choir had to sit in the choir loft. The choir loft was hold 75, and it'd be full. The vestibule, which was a lot bigger than what we have here, and have chairs in it, and it'd be totally full. And finally to a place to where the people had to be turned away because there's no place to put them. But boy, what meetings we would have. Amen. But anyway, I went down to that meeting, and so my wife and I went over to my pastor. And also my pastor is the head of the mission board that we were out of there to church, SSMB Triad Missions. And so we went there and just excited to be down there. And Pastor Fry, he said, Brother Larry, you and Sister Brenda come in here and sit down. And I went in, and Brenda went in, and we sat down there in front of his desk and all. And he told Brenda, he said, shut the door. Be sure to shut the door. Shut the door. And I went, well, what's going on here? And he said, I want to have a talk with you too. He said, you've been gone for a year now. You went up there to St. Johnsbury, Vermont, and said, you've been gone a year. And he says, since you've been up there, you've not tithed to Spruce Street not one time since you've left. I said, Preacher Fry. I said, we just got a church starting there, and just a handful of people. I said, we just took three people, two ladies and one little girl. And I said, that's what we've started with. And I said, it needs our money. He said, you are a missionary out of this church, off of this mission board. Your tithes goes to this. I said, but what about the needs of that church? He said, that's our problem. He said, you have a problem in the church. He said, you tell us about it and we'll help with that problem. He said, but your tithes belongs at Spruce Street. I said, okay, Pastor. Our tithes will be at Spruce Street from now on. And we did. We sent our tithes right to Spruce Street. You know what? We got this church building. We come up $2,500 short with a down payment. Spruce Street come up with $2,500. We got this church building. One morning we come in, it's pouring rain, and the water was running down here in the floor. And on the piano used to sit over here in the floor before we redone the platform up here. And and the water just running on it. I called, I said, Preacher, we got a bad problem with our roof. I said, it's leaking so bad. I said, the water's just running in. He said, take pictures up, send it to us. Took pictures up, send it to us. They've replace the roof on this church. After that happened, I stopped in Maryland. I preached a lot in Maryland. I stopped at this church, and they would always put us up, and you know, when we were coming through, and I told them what had happened. The pastor said, "I tell you right now," I said, "your preacher's wrong." He said, "I tell you, you just go ahead and move. You just move to our church, and we'll take care." We'll take care of you and going out as a missionary out of this church. We'll take care of you. He said,
Yeah, you just leave Spruce Street and that mission board down there, and you just come and go, and you go with us. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I said, God sent me there. I said, God has led me to that church and Preacher Fry and the mission board and all like this. I said, I'm going to obey my pastor. I'm going to submit myself to him. Do you know what? My little old rinky-dink tithe was nothing compared to what was given to this church and to help this church. And God opened my eyes. He said, you see what submission will do? He said, you need to submit. And I'm so glad that I didn't buck up against my pastor. I could have cut my own throat by doing that. But I didn't do it. And I told that pastor, I said, listen, Pastor, listen, I appreciate you and I know you love me and you'd like to help me. But I said, I am going to be true to my pastor. And even though I don't, and I at the moment I did not agree with him, I disagreed with him. But I submitted myself to him because he was my pastor. You know what? People are not willing to do that today. People are not willing. But you see, but God wants us to submit. He wants us to submit ourselves to him. God, you said it, I believe it, and I stand on it. That's what God wants in your life. A lot of people are not willing to come to that place. But listen, but God has blessed this place tremendously because we tried to do it God's way. We're not perfect here at Pleasant Street Baptist Church, but we try to be. We want to be. We do the best that we can to submit ourselves to God. But let me go ahead. I'm getting... it's taking a little bit too long. Now look down at verse number 4. In verse number 4 it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so he tells us here that sorrow. Hey, listen, sorrow is going to come in all of our lives. Hey, listen, there's not hardly a week that goes by that I don't have some kind of sorrow in my life. You know? I mean, listen, we're fighting one battle after another battle. You know, we're constantly fighting. Someone asked me one time and said, well, preacher, why are we always in a fight? I said, because the devil won't give up and I don't intend to. The Lord tells me, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. God tells me I've got the victory over the devil because God that lives in my heart is greater than him that's bringing all these problems. And through every temptation, he make a way of escape. Isn't that what he says? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Hey, there's going to be SARS that's going to come. But we don't allow SARS to defeat us. I went to this young girl. She passed away. And I knew her grandma and grandpa real well. And I went to the funeral home. And as we went through the receiving line there, I came to the grandmother, and the grandmother told me, said, I am mad at God. I'm mad at God. I said, ma'am, you have no reason to be mad at God. God took my granddaughter and I'm mad at God. I said, ma'am, she said, don't talk to me, preacher. I don't want to hear it. I'm mad at God. Now listen, this is a dangerous place for you to be. God is the creator of heaven and earth and all things that exist. And you think you're going to fight against God? Do you realize how little we are compared to God? We better submit ourselves. Amen. And whatever God does, he does right. He does not do wrong. Let me tell you this. Where I come from, and I was raised up in around High Point, North Carolina. There was a lady in High Point, North Carolina, and her baby son got very sick, and so she called on her pastor to come and pray for her son that was very sick, and the pastor came and he prayed and he said, Lord, we pray that your will be done. She said, Stop. She said, I don't want God's will done. I want my son. You pray that God will give me my son. And I said, and he said, ma'am, said, in all things we should pray for God's will. She said, I don't want God's will. I want my son. And he went on and prayed. Well, you know what? Her son recovered. He grew up. He became a rebellious child. He became a drunkard. He worked for Duke Power there in High Point, North Carolina. And do you know what? He climbed up on a pole and he was electrocuted. And he died on that pole. And his mother said, if only I would have let him go when he was a baby, he'd be in heaven now. And see, this lady went on to church, heard the gospel, heard about God and everything, and God opened her eyes and said, see, now you wanted your son, but you see, I know what's best. I know what's best in your life. I know better about your life than you do. I know what's going to happen tomorrow, and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He said, I know what is going to happen. And listen, you just need to trust me. And whatever comes your way, you need to realize that I have your best interest at heart, and I'm going to do what's best for you. Oh, what a hard lesson we learn sometimes when we want to resist God and work against Him. But listen, God wants what's best. God loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And God commendeth His Son, to us in that while He yet lived. What? My mind just went blank. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There it is. Okay. And so we see God loves us. God cares for us. He's got our best interest at heart. Then we look down in verse number 5. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now he's talking about salvation. You know, salvation changes a person. You're not the same anymore. You're different. Salvation changes you. And God living in your heart causes you to be a more humble and meek person. He doesn't want us rebelling, but He wants us, once again, back to that old word, submitting ourselves. God wants salvation to take place in our heart. Look down at verse number 6. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. So then we see satisfaction. You know what? God wants you to be satisfied. If you have Jesus, you ought to be satisfied. Why is that, preacher? Because He said there in Philippians 4:19, and I shall supply all your need with my riches and glory through Christ Jesus. God has promised to meet our every need. We don't have to worry about going hungry because God says He's going to feed us. We don't have to worry about the well running dry because God said you're going to have sufficient water. You don't have to worry about clothes on your back. God said, I'm going to clothe you. You don't have to worry about a roof over your head. God said, I'm going to put a roof over your head. He said, I'm going to supply your every need with my riches and glory through Christ Jesus. You can't get a better deal than that. Praise God, that's pretty good, isn't it? Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen. He wants us to be satisfied and be satisfied with Him because He's going to supply our every need. Look at verse number 7. In verse number 7 it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Oh, I'm so glad that we're going to obtain mercy. Amen. But He's talking about sympathy here. You know, so many times people expect so much out of others, but they don't expect anything out of themselves. You know what? A Christian can fall and go out and get drunk. And boy, let me tell you, people will never forget it. They'll never forget. Even though that person repents and asks God to forgive them and repents of their sin and never goes back to get drunk again or whatever, some people will never, never, ever forgive them. We all come short of the glory of God. I'm not saying condone drunkenness, absolutely not, because the Bible speaks against it. Matter of fact, it tells us not even look upon a wine when it giveth this color in the cup and moveth itself aright. Hey, listen, I don't believe in drinking. But listen, I believe in God, and I believe in forgiveness. And I believe when people fail that we need to be willing to forgive them when they do fail and they repent. And ask God to forgive them. God forgives them. Why can't we forgive them? You know, we ought to be like that. But let me go on. And then look down in verse number 8. In verse number 8, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, God wants us to be at peace and to make peace with people instead of stirring up strife and trying to cause. I told somebody yesterday. I said, listen. I said, I want you to know, I've had compassion on people and trying, you know, not to come down hard. Just because we don't try to destroy people when they do wrong, we try to do like Paul. Paul said, you know, I bring people, I persuade men. I bring them around. If there's a way that I can bring them around and to keep them from, you know, from being discouraged and giving up. Hey, do you know what? At one time, as a Sunday school teacher, you know, I taught the adult class and I let this man teach and he made a mistake. And I didn't confront him before the Sunday school class. After Sunday school, I said, sir, you were wrong. Well, I'm just not going to teach anymore. I said, no, I didn't say that I didn't want you ever teaching again. I just said, I wanted you to know that what you taught was not the Word of God. And I showed him in the Word of God where it was wrong. I've had people right here in this church and make statements that was wrong. I didn't embarrass them in front of the church, but I said to them afterwards, and I explained and I showed them biblically where that was wrong, that they taught was wrong. Some people don't want you to ever tell them that they're wrong. But listen, all of us sometime are wrong. Sometime all of us. I remember one time I told my uncle, I said, in the last days you won't be able to tell summer from winter. And he said, really? I said, yeah. And he'd just gotten saved. He hadn't been saved long. And I had heard that, and I thought that was in the Bible. And I had somebody else that had talked to him, and he came to me and said, did you tell him that? And I said, yeah. I said, I believe it's in the Bible. He said, it's not in there. He took me over to Genesis and said, until the end, there'll be summer, winter, spring, and fall, harvest. There'll be seed time, planting time, and harvest, until the very end. Made me feel about that high. And I apologized to my uncle. I told him, I said, I'm sorry. I said, I was shown. I said, I was wrong. I said, that's not in the Bible. I said, I'm sorry I told you that. I said, but I'm glad to find out what the truth is. Amen. Amen. But let us go on. I'll try to hurry here and let you go here very quickly. And then we see, look at verse number 9. It said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And that's all. God wants us to be soul winners. He wants us to win souls and win others to Christ. We're going to heaven, and now when we know people that's not going to heaven, we should want them to go to heaven. We should witness to them and tell them what the Word of God tells us. Amen. And then verse 10 says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Don't weep and cry when you're being persecuted. Sometimes, no matter what you do, somebody will find. Brother Junior called me this morning. He said, "Well," he said, "we're having the funeral service at 11 o'clock today at Hilltop Baptist Church." And he said, "You know what? I had people to call me." "Well, why in the world are you having it at 11 o'clock? Said, "Well, we can't come from our church to your church for the funeral service because you're having it right at the same time we're having it." He said, "Well, we just felt like it was the best for Hilltop that we'd do it during the 11 o'clock service today." And he says, "Why didn't you have it at 2 o'clock? "Hey, well, if I'd had 2 o'clock, some people said, well, I didn't have time. By the time we got out of church and we went somewhere to get something to eat, we didn't have time to get there, you know." And as one, he said, "We've just set it at that time. If you can come, come. If you can't, that's all right." I said, "Well, Brother Junior, I wish I could come, but I said, there's no way that I could come. I can't drive 1,000 miles down there." And I said, "And if I fly down, I got to have somebody to cart me around and get a place to stay and this, that." I said, "I just can't do that. I would like to be there, but I can't be there." He said, "I understand that." He said, "I was hoping and praying that you wouldn't try to come." I said, "No, I'm not going to try to come." But listen, we find a good lesson right here in the Beatitudes. We need to take it to heart. We need to strive to be the very best that we can be. But preacher, what if we fail? You will. You will. That's where 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 comes in. If you will confess your sin, he said, "I'll be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Amy? Anna? Do you come? Brother Jerry, do you club? Let's sing 145. Just as I am.